Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com, presented by USCC Expo, the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. You can find out more about them at usccexpo.com. Today, we talk about tribal hemp, indigenous hemp, with a company working with those who are working with Native Americans and the tribes who've been harvesting hemp for centuries. And with me today, I have the pleasure and privilege of speaking with the gentleman from Evo Hemp, the president and co-founder Jordan Samuel, and co-founder and CEO Ari Sherman. Jordan and Ari, thanks for being with us here on Blunt Business.
Hi, glad to be here.
How's it going? Thanks so much for having us. All right.
Thank you, Ari and Jordan. We're pleasure to have you. It's a great conversation we got coming up. So let's give some context before we get started. I want to go and talk about the history of hemp in America. And Medical Marijuana Inc. wrote about this recently. And this is what they said. They were talking about how hemp was already being cultivated by Native Americans in the New World when colonists arrived in America in the 1600s. This is what they said. Quote, as the United States gained its independence from Great Britain in the late 18th century, hemp remained a staple. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, our founding fathers, grew cannabis on their plantations, and Benjamin Franklin started one of America's first paper mills with hemp. According to historians, the first draft of the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. Fast forward to today, prior to the passage of the hemp bill, the Department of Justice opened the door for hemp cultivation by Native American tribes in 2014 when it agreed that tribes can set cannabis-related laws just as states can. Quote, growing industrial hemp is an opportunity for the aging Native American population to go back to its roots with plant-based medicine and reduce dependence on the American taxpayer. So I'll leave this for both of you. Talk to me about what started the conversation when it came to a company like Evo Hemp working with Native Americans to grow indigenous hemp.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Ari. Jordan and I, you know, started Evo Hemp back in 2012. Really passionate about how hemp is such a great economic driver for rural communities. We're learning about the farmers up in Canada. They had been cultivating hemp, you know, again, since 1998 when it was legalized in their country. And their farmers were earning over four times the amount of income per acre than our farmers here in the States, yeah, growing corn, wheat, and soy. And, you know, with using half the amount of water without the use of chemical pesticides or fertilizers. So it was a really great way to kind of revitalize our rural economies. And, you know, around 2012, it just started coming out of the recession, but the rural areas of America were still pretty stuck in that recession that happened in 2008. So we really saw this as a great opportunity. And in 2014, we were the first company to be able to launch a domestically grown source of hemp food, so the hemp hearts and protein powders. And our partnership with the Native American tribes didn't happen until 2016. Because a gentleman named Alex Whiteplume, who had started growing hemp back in 1998 but was shut down by the DEA, had an injunction put on him and his family that lasted up until 2016, where him and a legal team put together by the soap company, Dr. Bronner's, were able to get that injunction lifted. Alex and his team approached Jordan and I to partner up on a line of CBD products, all cultivated by Alex and his family right there on the Pine Ridge Reservation, which is the poorest community in the United States. They have about an 87% unemployment rate, and the average adult lifespan is only about 55 years old. It was a community that could really utilize the benefits of the industrial hemp plant and kind of bringing, at least initially the farming and eventually the production up to their reservation as well.
Now, Ari, I want to ask another question to you. In a recent press release, going on our subject here, doing a little segue, you said in a recent press release, quote, "The focus of this project is to combine our indigenous hemp extracts with our favorite products and brands utilizing our proprietary Evo hemp infusion technology. This will help grow our mission of providing high-paying agricultural jobs to Native American tribes." Now, how did this plan come to fruition, and how is it you're able to go ahead and offer the business? And, you know, was there any kind of obstacles when it came to working with reservations and being able to provide this work?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, that like you said, that has been our core mission from day one, is providing these high paying agricultural jobs to these, you know, Native American and indigenous communities, because we really saw that them as a community could really benefit the most from this plant. And, you know, really, in order to kind of expand that mission, we've decided to partner up with other food, beverage, and body care companies to help them source a Native American grown, you know, hemp as well, because it really kind of expands, you know, just the mission in general. So right now we're just in the Pine Ridge Reservation, but I get, you know, emails almost weekly from reservations across the country looking to partner up with us. And, you know, it allows us to go and purchase more hemp, and it allows the farmers the opportunities to cultivate that much more hemp. And internally here in Colorado, we have a really great team of chemists that have developed some really unique technologies on how to incorporate some of these cannabinoids into some of these other products, you know, challenging ones like beverages, where you're trying to eliminate, you know, taste and color, and you want to make sure it's fully suspended, you know, in a liquid and protected and encapsulated. And so we've developed, you know, some really great technologies, and using all organic ingredients, and we've decided, you know, it just kind of happened organically. Honestly, there's been people that have reached out to us, interested in the hemp and CBD space, wondering how their brands and their companies could get involved. And they're really seeing the benefits, you know, not only for their company, but for their consumers as well. And so we've kind of connected the dots and, you know, connected that supply chain between our Native American partners, our technology that we've developed, you know, here in Colorado, and working with, you know, companies right now across the country, to kind of connect all those dots together.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, you know, beyond the high-paying jobs that we're able to provide through the introduction of, you know, hemp and CBD farming on the reservations, one of the biggest things that we're also providing inherently in this is we're providing them with a phenomenal food source. Hemp is one of the best vegetarian sources of protein out there on the planet, has a perfect balance of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids, and 33% of its weight is usable protein that can be absorbed by your body. And this is super important for places like the Lakota Reservation, which is essentially a food desert, you know, separate from a Taco John's, a gas station, and the store where they get their foodstuffs. There really isn't a sustainable food source out there and readily available for them to utilize. And so by providing the hemp on their reservation, we're also giving them, beyond the employment, a great sustainable food source that can really help them be healthy individuals.
So again, I'm here with Jordan Samuel, and I'm here with Ari Sherman of Evo Hemp. We're going to have more questions for both of them. We're going to go a lot into, I'll tell you what, I'm going to just tease this before we go to the break. Could the Native American reservations, could the tribes actually profit more from hemp than they could gaming and casinos? That, we're going to actually tackle that question coming up after the break. But first, I got to talk about our sponsor, the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. It's where you get to be educated, engaged, and empowered within the evolution of the cannabis industry. We're here to chronicle it, and we bring lots of wonderful professionals and thousands of industry professionals to our shows. We'll be in Miami August 3rd and 4th for the return of the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. You can go learn more at the usccexpo.com. You can learn more information, how to attend, how to possibly even speak, sponsor, or exhibit at the show as well. Again, August 3rd and 4th inside the Hyatt Regency, beautiful downtown Miami, completely restored, renovated building. It's a beautiful place and a wonderful place when we did this last year to really hold the show, a really bustling wall market type trade show floor loaded with exhibitors that I hope you'll get a chance to see, and also the great expo hall, really just the sessions we're going to have as well. We're working on a great agenda for you. We'll have more information about that in the coming months. please go ahead and learn more as we move along at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Back with more Blunt Misses after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business. Educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo. Register for an early bird discount now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com. Now available for pre-order through crowdfunding for just $14 plus $10 shipping. Pouches, premium mixing and rolling pouches allow you to carry and prepare your herbs for consumption with discretion and ease. These stylish pouches are handcrafted using strong zips, long-wearing buffalo leather outside, and smooth sheepskin inside. A portion of proceeds go to fund vital medical research into cannabis for ADHD. See a demo and get yours now on Indiegogo or pouches.com. That's P-O-U-C-H-Z.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
We're back with Evo Hemp President and Co-Founder Jordan Samuel, and also from Evo Hemp, Co-Founder and CEO Ari Sherman. Gentlemen, thanks for coming back. This was fascinating to read. I got to ask you about this. This, because I mean, down here in South Florida, I'm at, we have the Seminoles, and obviously gaming is quite prominent here, and that's also says the most for the rest of the country, for the tribes to really make a revenue and to put back into the communities. Now, reading from this, I saw, quote, the industrial hemp project could possibly overtake Indian gaming, not only in terms of employment, but also in terms of revenue to the Navajo, end quote. And this is according to Al Henderson. He's a senior Navajo economic advisor, noting that the 360,000-member tribe had an unemployment rate of 40 to 50%. Could there be a time, gentlemen, where hemp could become bigger business over gambling for Native Americans?
I don't want to say never, but, you know, currently the size of the industry here in the United States compared to how much income they're making on the reservation from gambling, about 32 million or billion collectively, it's not quite there yet. However, I think where the big opportunity lies is a lot of the reservations are in very rural areas where they're not near anything heavily populated, and it's really giving them an opportunity to grow and flourish and become profitable, have great employment, have great food source, and, you know, a great income source in these areas where a casino really wouldn't work.
Ari, did you want to add to that?
That's basically the answer, is the fact that, you know, in total, you know, cannabis in general, even beyond hemp, is, you know, potentially a $50 billion market in here in the United States. That's hemp and, you know, THC products. And so if you look at that compared to the size, like Jordan mentioned, it's about $32 billion in 2017. That's just the Native American gaming industry. I do not foresee that ever kind of eclipsing that. But to Jordan's point, there are a lot of very, very poor Native American tribes that do not have casinos because, mm-hmm. like Jordan said, they're just, it's not feasible to put a casino in the southern part of South Dakota. And I mean, even if they would, there's really just not that much traffic to drive that much revenue. So I think there are a significant amount of Native American reservations in this country that will make more money off of industrial hemp than gambling. Absolutely. But if you look at the industry as a whole, I think it will be tough.
As long as there's another revenue stream for those folks, that's really what's important. And I think, and also this is an industry where it's not it doesn't, I mean, I still, I mean, really honestly, nothing to be looked down upon when it comes to having, you know, an agricultural factor for the reservations, something more to make most of the land instead of just building large, lightly brick structures. I mean, that's something that would be good for everybody and also beneficial overall. Then maybe so much would be for gaming in general, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. One of the things that we're most excited about is the potential of the actual building materials that are going to come from these hemp plants that we're using. You know, it's such a multi-purpose crop that, you know, we're trying to develop these genetics where, you know, you can utilize the seed, you can still have a good amount of cannabinoid content, and then also have a good amount of stalks left over to make hempcrete out of and build homes. Because right now, about 60% of the homes on the Pine Ridge Reservation should technically be demolished because of mold issues or structural problems. And so there's a lot more benefits, you know, just than financial from this plant.
Interesting point. Now, there was a recent online feedback session presented by the USDA, Department of Agriculture. At least six representatives from groups of indigenous people described their visions for a regulated and equitable industrial hemp program. Some asked for clarification on how tribes and sovereign nations can participate in the 2019 planting season. Now, the 2018 Farm Bill allows continued planting of hemp under the earlier 2014 legislation's research provisions. But one representative stated that, quote, but the Farm Bill, it does not allow that tribes can grow under those requirements. When the USDA comes out with the regulations, it'll be too late for this farming season. And that concern was echoed by other speakers' remarks as well. An attorney representing one of the tribes said this, quote, delaying this out to 2020 or beyond is going to hurt tribes, he said. Do you see any reason for concern for what you're working on or for other tribes?
Yeah, there's definitely a concern. I mean, as you mentioned, the 2018 Farm Bill did provide this, you know, administrative mechanism for these tribes to go ahead and kind of create their own regulatory bodies internally, as long as they are able to develop, you know, and submit this comprehensive plan that they've created to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So, you know, personally, we are working directly right now with the Pine Ridge Tribal Council, the Lakota Tribal Council, to get these plans in place. So they're in the middle right now of kind of structuring their own regulatory body. And then, you know, they're also trying to decide if they want the USDA's permission. Because honestly, some of these tribes, they're a little bit different. Some have, you know, quote, technical sovereign status because they're a treaty tribe, which the Lakotas do, which kind of gives them a little bit more protection from the federal government than other tribes. So it's not all created equal. And, you know, we have been working with the Lakota tribe and Alex Whiteplume to cultivate this industrial hemp, you know, around this sovereign status where they are creating their own and have their own, you know, regulatory body, and they test the hemp that is being grown, and they have, you know, their regulations in place. But they're trying to decide right now if they're going to wait for that USDA permission.
Now, the Democracy Now! Podcast, they recently featured a discussion about the indigenous-led fight against destructive oil pipelines and the revolutionary potential of the Green New Deal. The guest was Winona LaDuke. She's the Ojibwe environmental leader and executive director of the group Honor the Earth. She said this, quote, what I want to do is rebuild the hemp industry in Indian country, and I want us at the table, not on the menu. I want us to be in the leadership of this next economy because we have a lot of territory upon which you can grow hemp and we can rebuild the light manufacturing industry in this country, end quote. From your business standpoint, I'll leave this to both of you. Do you see room to grow and expand with this project to where Winona's intent can become a reality?
I do, absolutely. And that's what, you know, we work towards every single day. You know, we love what Winona does and what she stands for. And, you know, we're right there behind her. And we've always tried to take that approach with our business that, you know, it's a true partnership that we have, we know, with our tribal partners. It is not something where we come in there and we say, hey, we need X amount of product and here's the price we're going to pay. You know, we have profit sharing models in place. You know, we pay significantly higher than market value for our products grown by the native tribes because, you know, it is what we're truly truly passionate about is making sure that they get a very strong industry built. And, you know, kind of next steps for us and them is work on the processing side. So right now we've, you know, Alex Whiteplume has formed an indigenous consulting group where, you know, he's now speaking with a number of other tribes across the country. And this is, you know, all native owned. And this is, you know, with help of our team and our team going in and doing the farm management and working with Alex and his farmers on making sure that they, you know, understand the most up-to-date practices. So we do work directly with them, but these are all their projects. This is all on their land, and we are helping to facilitate that and market and distribute these products. But we really want it to be theirs, and so that they can build it how they want to. And, you know, we can just be there to help. And when it comes to building more processing and manufacturing facilities, I mean, we will be right there next to them, but it will be their projects.
Jordan, do you want to add to that?
No, I think Ari pretty much covered that very well. Again, you know, it's definitely our mission to help these sovereign nations become self-sustainable and flourish. And so right there with what Ari was saying, you know, we're there to help them as much as they need, but we want them to own the processing and the manufacturing and really be able to, you know, use this to support their industries for years and generations to come.
Now, this is a subject we don't normally come across, but here we go. Because of the fact this is we're talking about indigenous nations. They are sovereign. The tax revenue they receive, including from cannabis-related businesses on their lands, do not go to the state. So my question for both of you, talk to me about the benefits that this gives Native Americans, and what kind of benefit, if there's any, would you be able to get from this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's obviously a tremendous benefit, you know, directly to the Native tribes as far as their tax status with the federal government. But, you know, I think it just kind of barely offsets the challenges that they really face due to lack of infrastructure. Because they do not pay that much taxes, the federal government does not really give them that much aid. I mean, perfect example is right now with the flooding that's happened, you know, in the Midwest and specifically on the Pine Ridge Reservation. There was tons of roads that were completely washed away because they don't get the federal funding or attention to kind of help repair their own internal infrastructure. So really just, I think it kind of zeroes itself out, honestly, that the tax benefits that they will get because they have to put that much more time and effort into really, you know, taking care of their own land and their own roads and their own internal infrastructure. And for us, it doesn't really have an effect because, again, you know, we are their partners, but we do not, you know, we're out of Colorado and pay our taxes just like any other state here or any other business in the state of Colorado. So we don't have any direct benefits financially from that. And, you know, sad to say, I really think in long term, they don't really get it either. When the businesses grow and the numbers grow and become significantly larger and they're making a lot more money off of this industry, I do see that benefit can really take shape. But right now they're, you know, just kind of digging themselves out of this hole that they keep getting put into.
Yeah. No, it's an ongoing struggle just to roll the ball back up the hill and try to avoid from having it fall back down. I'm just trying to get over the hill, if you will.
Exactly.
So, again, I'm here with Jordan Semel, president and co-founder of Evo Hemp and co-founder and CEO of Evo Hemp, Ari Sherman. Back with final questions for both of them in just a moment.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business. Educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Register before May 1st for an early bird discount of 50% off now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Join us for the 2019 U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo August 3rd and 4th in Miami. Register now at usccexpo.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Cannabis industry professionals. Want to gain some new leads? Make genuine business connections and get premier brand exposure? This is your opportunity. NCIA's new industry socials are coming soon to Portland, Maine, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Miami. Sponsorship opportunities available. Register today.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
And we're back here on Blunt Business with Evo Hemp President and Co-Founder Jordan Samuel and Co-Founder and CEO Ari Sherman. Gentlemen, I know that you, Evo Hemp was recently showcased at the National Products Expo West show in Anaheim, California, and I know natural products is something is we're going to be trying to, with the USCC Expo, they're going to be joining in with us many ways in a somewhat of a partnership or participation coming up at USCC Expo in Miami and in Phoenix this August and October, respectively. So let's talk about what you did show at Expo West. You unveiled a new line of CBD-infused food products that include hemp hearts, hemp protein, hemp seed oil, hemp bars, and more. So talk about what you showcased.
Yeah, so we introduced an entire line of hemp-infused products, you know, like you just mentioned. We also are working on a line of some topicals, as well as coming out with some new tinctures and gummies are in the pipeline as well. Really, with the hemp and CBD industry growing at such a rapid pace, we really noticed that the next step was going to be foods infused with CBD. And so with that, you know, it made a lot of sense for us to take our current hemp items, add CBD to it to really present, you know, an entire full spectrum, truly full spectrum hemp product that has not only the hemp as the protein, but has the full spectrum hemp extract, including CBD in the product as well. And so for us, you know, we really see CBD as a added ingredient similar to that of calcium, for instance, you know, something like milk fortified with calcium. That's really how we see CBD being used. And so we wanted to show all of the potential usages with CBD and really present that in our products.
Now, the other thing I also saw that you worked on, and this is a press release as I'm recording today here, April 12th. I just saw a press release come down the line that you're partnering with Forest Coffee Trading Company, and now you're making new CBD cold brew coffee. This is fascinating. Talk about how this got put together, and you know, how does it work out with CBD working with a cold? I don't think I've known anybody else that does cold brew coffee with CBD yet, or unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, it's a really great partnership that we're really excited about. Like we kind of mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, we start working with a handful of other food and beverage and body care companies. And, you know, really specifically lately, the beverage industry has gravitated dramatically towards, you know, CBD. We're seeing all types of different CBD beverages. Our first actual partnership was with a lemonade group called Honey Drop. And they have three different flavors of a lemonade that we use. Our, like I said, we've got some really awesome proprietary technology here at Evo Hemp on getting these cannabinoids, you know, more water soluble and, you know, with less flavor to them, but still maintaining a full spectrum extract. And so we've worked with these beverage companies, and there's a group called Forest Coffee based in here in Denver. They have a really great product. Honestly, it was my favorite cold brew coffee even before they approached us, specifically because their beans come from Thailand. These Thailand beans, they're not as great when you drink the coffee warm because they have less flavor to them. But it also makes an even – but what does make is a better cold brew coffee because it has less flavor. And so you don't get kind of the acidic notes that come out in some cold coffees. It's a really smooth, you know, really great cherry dark chocolate kind of notes that come out. And, you know, a really great local company. They approached Jordan and I on, you know, working together because they do, you know, really love our mission about supporting these native tribes, but also because we do really have kind of a superior technology on getting, you know, CBD into their beverage. So really excited with that partnership.
I mean, I'm surprised from Thailand of all. I mean, I would think Colombia, of course, we've always heard about Valdez, but Thailand. And then I'm looking in the press release about how they do this. Forest Coffee does where they get it's done through micro lots, and it's depulping, minimal fermentation, the coffee beans semi-washed and dried on elevated bamboo platforms that protect the beans from dust and debris and ensures the highest quality. Wow, it's like. Thailand brewed coffee. That's a new one for me. I didn't even realize that it did that there. That was really interesting. Part of the thing was really you like the idea of Thailand cold brew coffee. Where'd you try that at?
You know, honestly, they're a relatively small local brand here in Colorado, but you can find their products in the Whole Foods Market and Safeway stores. Okay. And I tried it for the first time at a Whole Foods Market. You know, it's a really cool collaboration because, you know, their farmers are, again, like you said, they're small family farmers. They're all native and indigenous small community in northern part of Thailand. So it's really kind of fun to be able to, you know, collaborate the two, you know, countries where we have our awesome small, you know, Native American farming partners working with, you know, these native communities out of Thailand, really combining both incredible benefits from the coffee bean as well as the hemp plant. So it makes for a really cool story as well.
Jordan, I know you wanted to chime in.
You know, like Ari mentioned, it's been really a great partnership. Forrest kind of reached out to us. They're based out of Denver. We're a Boulder company. And anytime that we can, you know, do a partnership with local companies and other food companies that are like-minded, we really enjoy that opportunity. And it really helps not only get our brand out there, but helps get like-minded individuals with the same mission together and really helps project that to the customer base.
Excellent. And I also noticed in the press release, what a quote. This is like a liquid hug for your brain. I want to know what that's like. I think that'll just keep people kind of thinking about it and going grab a case, a 12-pack, if you will, from all this. So, folks, we're out of time. I can't believe it. We've gotten to this point. And Jordan and Ari, I really do appreciate you both making time to join us here on the show. Real quickly, I know we've already got a chance to talk about the product line, but please take another minute, talk to our listeners, and you know, each take a little bit of time to let our listeners know how we can learn more about Evo Hemp, what you're doing with the cause with the indigenous tribes, and what you're doing with the product line and what we have coming up for we can look forward from you both.
Yeah, absolutely. Really enjoyed being on, and thanks for having us. Really excited about, you know, continuing our mission, you know, expanding our native network with our indigenous farming partners here in the United States, you know, continuing to kind of grow the business with other brands as well, working for other partnerships in the food and beverage and body care space on how we can, you know, help fuel our mission here in Colorado. And then also you can find our products in a number of retailers like Whole Foods, Costco, Kroger. An easy way also is evohemp.com. And you can find us on social media at evohemp.
Fantastic. So, I mean, and I'm just seeing across the board, there's a lot of new announcements coming from Evo Hemp. And it's a great service you're doing for the tribes. I really do appreciate that. And it's a story that was just fascinating to hear about that. And just to say, okay, you know, this would be a place to go and go to. And obviously the kind of history they all have, you know, they're going to be the Native Americans are well suited to really go through something that they've done for centuries. They should be able to go ahead and properly be able to go ahead and procure and harvest hemp. And with the help of you to be able to go and get it produced and distributed and really put a great partnership together, I think it's a great move forward. And I think that's another way of helping the environment, helping those that really need, that are less fortunate.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're really excited. And some of the new products we got coming out recently is a topical line we call our indigenous botanical blend. So the mission behind that is incorporating some of the other native herbs and plants and flowers grown by our native partners like lavender and sage and things that they have been, you know, like you said, cultivating for you know, generations, and how we can help support them, you know, beyond the hemp plant and combine the benefits of the you know, all of the herbs that they're cultivating. So really excited about that as well.
Awesome. All right, well, I'm here with President and Co-Founder Jordan Samuel and Ari Sherman, Co-Founder and CEO of Evo Hemp. And we thank you both for being with us here on Plant Business. Thank you so much for being on. And let's definitely keep up and keep in touch. And we'd love to keep in line with what's going on with what you're doing down the line pretty soon.
That sounds great. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure. So one more time before we get out of here, the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. I talk about this all the time. I could keep reading the script over and over until I'm blue in the face because I need you to come. I want you to come and be at this show. It's in Miami, Florida. It's a great time of year. The weather's awesome. Great nighttime networking. We're going to have a great show. Agenda's going to be really wonderful. Thousands of people are going to be showing up from all over the country, all over the world to be a part of our show. And you shouldn't miss out. The Miami show is going to be fantastic. It's August 3rd and 4th. The Hyatt Regency, downtown Miami, they were doing some work on the hotel. It's been renovated. It's sparkling brand new, and it's a great place to be. It's a great venue. We're so thankful to be there once again. Really enjoy that show, and we're looking forward to going and putting this all together and putting another great show out there. We'd love to hear your feedback about Agenda. We'd love to know if you want to be able to, if you're interested in speaking, sponsoring, or exhibiting at the show. By all means, reach out to our team at usccexpo.com, and most importantly, get your passes now before they run out and join us at the United States Cannabis Conference and Expo August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida. Go to usccexpo.com to learn more. Thanks for joining us, folks. You can download past episodes of Blunt Business by going to cannabisradio.com. Subscribe to the show. Please rate and review this show. We're putting out a lot of content for you, and if you love it, please let us know about it. Go to Apple Podcasts and put a rate and review out there. Put us for 5 stars, please. Much appreciated. Also, find us on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Thank you for listening.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.